Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SCP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us with a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can enjoy it on the stream on the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. Just join the Starfleet SFU On Call stream and on the voice chat, and you will be able to listen and actually talk to us. That'd be great. And you can find the invitation to that server on the sfuoncall.com website. Also, if you want to join the chat, you know, actually chat away, you know, typing the key on the keyboard, you can go to twitch.tv. That's twitch.tv/sfuoncall and also watch the live stream of my lovely face. Moving on, and if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com, sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, we'll follow my Twitters. We have the SFU On Call Twitter account. We also have my personal account, Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's no T in that. And of course, also my business account, Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-M-E-S. Of course, there's no T in that. And of course, my Blue Sky accounts are sfucall.bsky.social and franzgames.com. And of course, the lovely TalkCast, Get to Know Podcast, available on iTunes, various other feeds around the net. Not much news this week from ADB. I'm sure Patrick was still working on Module K. And I did see some feedback on FNE Civil Wars module, the rulebook. There was some talk on the forum discussion board. So that obviously is going on. And this week, the found on the online store, we have the FNE Counter Sheet Kilo. It's $13.95, and what it is, it's a replacement for the counter sheets K and L. Kilo is 280 double-sided counters, and it supports the FNE command combined operations. Moving onward and forward to the SFU Online tournaments, we have Sapphire Star 19 tournament. The finals are now here. That's going to be Spartan, i.e. Jeff, I forget the last name at the moment, in the IC versus Daniel, Cadet Stimpy, in the RKE. That's supposed to go live, hopefully, Monday on the December 15th at 2 o'clock Pacific time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern time, and I think that's 7 a.m. Japanese time on Tuesday. So, for those of you, I'm not sure, I don't think there's any of you in Japan, that would be a shock. Obviously, there might be some of you in Europe, and I'm not sure what time zone that would be and what the difference is, because I think that'd be really late for European time, because for GMT, that would be around 10 o'clock at night. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the 500 BPV tournament, we still have two more games that are being played, and they're going quite well. Still haven't had a chance to do my game with Justin. I need to contact him about hopefully playing maybe this weekend. Gotta wait and see. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the Starfleet Warlord, that the new standard game, number 98, it will be starting this weekend. That is December 13th is when I will be starting. I'll be start processing those orders and hopefully get them out either on the 13th or the 14th. At the worst case scenario, I will have them out the door on the 14th. Obviously, if you want to be part of that game, please get your order, your initial bills in ASAP so that we can have it all set up and continue on. When it comes to Die Hard 58 and 59, it's going quite well. Actually, we had another player leave on number 59. They had a hard time keeping up with the game and decided that they no longer wanted to play Starfleet Warlord. When it comes to the library report for this week, not much happening there. There actually are some updates that I need to post. It looks like I just got an email from Frank saying, it doesn't take long to upload. Well, no, it doesn't take that long, assuming there's three things involved. But I'll put that in the email and not discuss that here. And also with FedCom, no updates there. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one and only Paul Franz, recommending you to start off the universe on call. And tonight, we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And actually, and we have, of course, we have me. There's no one else here at the moment. Obviously, I just started up Twitch to see if there's anyone there in the chat room. And obviously, I will say hello to anyone who's there. We had a Jeb, I think, 99. I think it's the I'm not quite sure I pronounce it right, but that's what it looked like to me. Was here last week, and also actually we had guest Dave, who I know he's a long time listener. That was definitely, he was with us in the Talk Shoe days when we actually were streaming live from Talk Shoe, which, you know, obviously we're no longer doing. And it seems to be working out fine so far, you know. So anyhow, for the first topic for this evening, actually we're going to have a quick discussion. There, to me, it's a shock. To be completely and totally honest, it's a shock. The finals is going to be Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark. I forgot to tell you the ship he's flying, which is the ISC. And then we have Daniel. I forget his last name, but basically Cadet Stimpy. Sorry. I'm not lying here. And that's in on the RKE. You know, basically the King Eagle, the Romulan King Eagle, the term. Well, actually, I think it's called TKE, because it's Tournament King Eagle, Romulan Tournament King Eagle, because it's, you know, it's the King Eagle, but it's been adjusted, has additional. I forget what it definitely has, additional batteries. I think also additional armor, but you know, a lot of other things are the same. I forget that there's probably some more other things that are different from the regular King Eagle. But again, as I said, they're in the finals, which is actually pretty shocking, because the TKE is considered one of the lesser ships. You know, it's like, and don't take this the wrong way, the LDR is considered a lesser ship. LDR is a good ship overall. It's a good ship. It's just that it never makes it to the finals. It never makes it to the finals, period. And usually TKE, you know, it's a fun ship to fly, but inevitably, you know, because of its single R torp and then two Fs, it has problems. Now, of course, the one benefit of the TKE versus the other ships, one, it's of course it has the armor, but another one of the things that is kind of a benefit is that it has all three of the torps have pseudo torpedoes, unlike the other plasma ships, where the Fs all they have no pseudos, they're all real. So you know if there's an F coming at you, you know it's real. Well, in the TKE, that is not the case. And I think that's definitely a good thing for the TKE, because I think it needs it in the category. As we've mentioned multiple times on this program, how that the TKE has the issue where it has only one large, you know, one large torp versus other ships, you know, like the Gorn, the TKR, the TFH, the Terminal Firehawk. And, in theory, the IAC, because the G's are kind of large, kind of. They're 20 points, but they're longer range than the F-Torps. You know, so, you know. So you can, given that you have two or larger torps, you can trade them off. And for the most part, you can have it so at least you have one large torp available every three turns. But, you know, so you rarely have a turn that you don't have one available, or at least available in the fast load if you need to. Oh, Iggy's on. Let me see something. Don't mind me. Nope. Oh, boy. Well, looks like some got deleted. I was looking at, see, I can't see who's actually in the chat. That's weird. But I've never really played with
you and me. That's all I see.
No, not in the voice chat.
Oh, you mean over there?
On Twitch.
I'm sorry.
Because Gus Davis is saying hi to Iggy, but I can't see who's actually in the chat room. Which is. Nope. Okay, I'm going to continue on. Sorry, I got sidetracked. I saw that and I went on my iPad to see, okay, can I see? Okay, now I have three viewers. But the question is, was one of those viewers me? What happens if I tap that? Nope. But, anyway. Sorry, yeah, no, I was also looking at there's a mod action. And I looked at it, it's like, you know, I have quite a few unknown users that got banned by me. Well, actually, one actually still exists. I'm surprised. Two of them still exist. One was 4 years ago. Another one was 2 years ago. They still exist. All the rest are now unknown users, which my assumption is that the account has been deleted. Well, the Falcons are winning 14-10.
I just got their bot accounts banned.
Yeah, which wouldn't surprise me, because the only time I would ban somebody at all is because basically they're posting spam to my channel. That's the only reason I do that. And so I don't think there's a single person that actually would. Really. So that, or at least have anything wrong with that. Okay. Let me switch back here. So what I'm going to do is actually, I want to bring up the ships. Just because, to me, the fascinating thing is that the TK has been winning. I think for one of the games, it was a pretty long game. I think it was like 20 turns. So, and the reason, in my understanding from that game, which was it was Carl Magnus, known as Hardcore is the call sign, is that he ran out of Wild Weasels, you know, which tells me that he got in the position where he had to launch Wild Weasels. He didn't have much choice. Because obviously that's a limited resource, and you don't want to launch your shells of Wild Weasels unless you have to. You know, maybe the first one you do it because, okay, you know, tactically, okay, it'll be beneficial. And there's a point where you're down to your last two. You do it only because you have to, because you're running out of that thin supply of yours, that small supply of yours. But anyway, as you can see, you know, it has the R and the two Fs, and just four phaser ones. But it has that's one thing that did get added. I think it was these two, right here and here, which is the phaser threes, left side and right side phaser threes, which the idea was to help benefit it when it comes to drones. And I think, I'd have to look, but if I recall correctly, let me see. Excuse me. Okay, that's good. That is okay. Let's look at this. Then Stimpy was the first one was Klingon. That was Justin. You beat Justin, and then after that it was in the RKR. Then he beat Bill Scheller, which is he's a rated ace in the Klingon, and now he's going to fight the AC. So I thought for a moment that he might have actually won because it was all plasma. No, I'm just shocked that he beat the Klingon, which is interesting. I'm not sure how he did it, but he did. But a good amount. The cloak cost is only 15. And let me just versus Firehawk, which is 18, and TKR is 20. So it has least amount of the cloak, the lesser cloak cost with the, let me see, that's 30 plus 6. And where's the APR? Just the one? Is it just the one here? Yeah. Well, it also has 6 impulse. So that's 37 power. So overall, cloaking wise, it should be able to cloak pretty effectively. Because of one, only has one heavy torp, so you don't have to you're not trying to charge two at the same time. So that's 4 points of energy. So because R is only 2 versus 4, and then of course then you have the 2 Fs, which are one apiece. So overall, it's got more power available. While it is cloaked, so. I don't know if he uses cloaked at all, but obviously, with the cloak cost 15, he can actually go faster than any of the other cloaked Romulans. I was gonna say any cloaked ship, but I think the Orion can definitely move much faster under cloak. Though obviously. The only thing I was just thinking about is that, of course, if you double the engines, it doubles the cloak cost. So you wouldn't want to do that. But anyway, and it's got its T-bomb. I'm not sure if he actually even used a T-bomb in any of the games. I'm hoping beyond all hope that he will win against the ISC. And we'll get a write up, because I would love to have a write up of his game. We'll find out what was the tactics he used. Obviously, when it comes to the Romulan, Carl Magnus, that was mainly in that case it was a plasma on plasma. It was a long battle, and basically he ran him out of resources. That's where it was. I'm not sure how many EPTs. I would think that later on in that combat with the 20 turns, that he actually would have done some EPTs because of, you want the most scariest sight in the world. You have a 100-point plasma torpedo coming at you. If it's at 100 points and it hits you, you're in deep trouble. Let me see, 100 points, which is 100 divided by 6 equals, so that's 16 points, so half your shields are gone. More than half your shields are gone. And then you have, of course, okay, so 16 times 6 equals, so 4, and there's 4 of them, which actually takes 17 instead of 16. So, later on, that becomes a very effective weapon. And scary, which in my case, I think that might be why he ran out of weasels. You just have to launch that and just have it catch your opponent at a relatively slow speed, i.e. between 10 and 15, and you have a good opportunity. And let's bring up the ISC. Okay, there's Neo-Tholian. Andromedan, Laren, Wax. Oh, there it is. The ISC. Okay. Here's ISC. Of course, standard ISC tournament cruiser with the two G's up here, and of course the F's, which are those rear firing F's, which good and bad. You know, it's good. It's great in that it can actually take up the you're going to hit instead of the PPD. See, we're from the basic restrictions under R13.1C, which means it only can fire once at a ship per turn. And also it must fire out basically going this way and this one going out this way. So it can't go launch firing forward. It has to always go firing backwards. But they can be destroyed on drone and torp damage. So pretty sure PVD can hit on drone. Either drone or torp. I do forget that, and I apologize for that. Okay, let me see. Electronic rule book. There's 11. This one. We'll find it relatively quick. The PPD, yes, they are. PPDs are destroyed on drones, which is all the more reason that gives them some protection here. I've got a PDF protection by having the plasma F's be able to hit by drones. Normally they can't be, which makes it really interesting if you think about fleet combat, where if you get a drone hit for one of the main ships, i.e. the ones that have PBDs in them, that's the PBD is gone and there's a good bit of your firepower. It just goes out the window, at least direct fire firepower. You're stuck with just the torps. So 34 and power and APR is 8. So it's a total of 38 points of power. So it's, again, it's movement cost 1, both of them are movement cost 1. And of course, you have the 6 phaser 1s. You have the 360s here, and then FH and 2 FA, R, and L. Meaning, okay, you got one, which is an FHA, and one FHR, okay? So a total of 6 phaser ones. So it has 2 more phaser ones, but facing forward, which is basically what all the TKE has, which is 4 phaser ones, which are facing in the front arc. Though, obviously, with the 360 here, it can obviously go, it can fire rearward with one's plasma F's has at least some kind of punch to it, and has the 4 phaser 3s, which again they're good for drones attack, drones, and obviously plasma knocking them down a little bit. Standard, everything else is standard. 4 transporters, 2 of each control type. Oh, actually, that's one thing I want to look at real quick. But so overall, here's the thing. For each of his opponents that Cadence Tippy went against, whether it was, Bill Scheller or Metal Dog, Justin, in the Klingon, or hardcore in the RKR, I don't think there's anyone out there that would give the RKE or the TKE. We have an RK here because that's just nowhere that we put there. Because it's Romulan. The RKE, anyone would give the RKE the leg up in any of these battles. You would give Okay, you know, probably a 40% chance of winning. Not even 50-50, you know. But he's in my mind has beat the odds every single time. So would I count him out when it comes to ISC? No, I would not. And obviously he can cloak, which would be a wonderful method against the PPD. Of course, my guess is that against the PPD, he won't be cloaking to break the PPD lock. That would be my guess. Most probably if he cloaks, it's going to be because of torpedoes. That would be my guess on that. Because I'm thinking that most probably the PPD is going to be fired on the ISC on a battle pass. Well, the plasmas will be launched on a battle pass, but at that point, the RKE is going to be done with its battle pass. Poth or Rhino, he might actually do it against the PPD. Though the thing is, usually the PPD is usually fired around range 10 unless you actually overload the PPD. In which case, then you obviously have to start at range 8. Okay, the one thing I wanted to look at was, there it is. I just wanted to double check on the number of control spaces. Okay, it's got, oh, that's good. It's got 3 bridges and the 2 flag bridge. That's really good. And this is why I say that. That's 5, so it's got a few less control spaces, but here's the good thing. Because of its bridge and flag bridge, both get hit on 2 rolls of 2. So when it comes to the DAC chart, on the DAC, so if you hit the 12, well, it makes it harder to hit 2 control spaces at the same time, in the same volley, volley of internals. So that's a benefit for it. Obviously, the great thing, also another thing about that's nice about the King Eagle is that because you got 30 box shields all around, so even shield number 3, 4, and 5, instead of being 24, it's 30. And then after you get past the shield, you still have to get past the armor. So basically, the first shield that you penetrate, if you try to get through, all one, the one volley, try to get past the shield on one volley, you have to do at least 40 points of damage to actually have internals that actually kind of quote unquote count. I didn't know that. That's another nice thing about the TKE. And that is, it actually has, instead of having 5 batteries, it has 6 batteries. Obviously, that can be very, very beneficial when it comes to the R. Because of, it's 2, 2, 5. So if you want to, if you're rolling it, you have just put 3 points of energy into it, and you still got 3 points of energy left. Or if you want to, this is what some people do. So see, the benefit of rolling versus okay, there's two ways of handling the R. Because the R R can only be held on bases. Cannot be held on ships. That means that when you can do 2 things when it comes to the R on the ship. 1, you can do a rolling delay. So that you keep rolling, and then the turn that you want to launch it, You can just use 3 points of energy. And boom, it's fully charged. And you can then launch it with 3 points of energy. Now, if you know that you're going to use it as a standard torp. Now, again, the issue with that is that this limits your possibilities, which is you can charge it as an S, and then you can hold it for 2 points of energy as an S. And then just use 2 points of energy, not three, 2 points of energy to make a standard torpedo from there. So that can actually save you energy. Now, the problem with that, of course, is you limit your flexibility because of if you have it so it's rolling. Obviously, one thing you can do, you don't have enough energy to do this as part of reserve power, but as part of the beginning of the turn, you can say, okay, I want to envelop this R. And in that case, you can then put all the energy to it, and you have the ability to actually have an EPT instead of a standard torpedo. But if you do it as a standard, if you hold it as an S and then upgrade to an R, you're stuck as a standard torpedo. So that is one of those things you have to decide how you're going to actually charge the R in that case. And again, that's one thing that I really wish, I'm going to do one quick thing here. I don't think that's the wrong one. And this one. Sims density to me this game. I assume he meant destiny, not density. Yeah. And Seth says cloaking is going to be key. I tend to agree with that. How he uses the cloaking device is going to be key. I'll get back to this a little bit later, which is this really quick game of Jeff versus Peter Bakia. Well, only two turns. Let me just look at this real quick. Bitsef. Okay. I think it's how Italian pronounce his name. Okay, the TK the 16-30-26 split. Wow, with passive fire control. Klingon 15-16 slipped away, slipped out, approach at range 8 without turning by the Klingon. Okay, so basically he went for an oblique attack. Launch R at range 15. And the Klingon elect not to turn in. Instead, it turns out to flee the 50-pointer, which is standard. The TK then turns in to chase. Uh-oh. TK is around range 10 off the Klingon's flank. The torp is several hexes away, but still glowing brightly. And then the Klingon launches 2 and discharges 4 overloaded disruptors. Wow. Klingon was aggressive. He thought he was going to come in and blast him with 4 overloaded disruptors. Okay, big surprise. Klingon starts with speed 26. And TKE is same one, raises fire control impulse 1. TKE deals with a turn 1 drones with 2 flank phaser 3s. Okay. Obviously he got good rolls. Klingon runs out. The torp some more and fires a single phaser 3, eats it for 9. Under shield, had it been real. That's why I went, uh-oh. Because also it's 2 turns. But it's real at the PPT. Klingon then turns to get TKE and FA and fires 4 standard, pursuing the TKE's number 1 Around range 8, Paul rolls poorly. 3 damage. Wow. Only hits with 1. TK increases at speed 31, continues the pursuit in earnest at range 2. Klingon wants some drones. Wow. No scanner pack. Some drones that need to be dealt with impacted on the next impulse. Unless TK wants to slip out, which he doesn't. Uses a 3-phase ones at phaser 3 to handle them. So basically he's using all his phasers just for dealing with drones. The Klingon increases speed to 28 on 26 to avoid range 1. TA takes this as the last opportunity to land a tractor beam at range 2. For Klingon, what was that, 27 in movement, 8 disruptors, and probably got that. So 7 with tractor, in tractor, plus 6 reverse power. TK felt good about the chances. 10-point tractor gets the Klingon. Klingon like the type 4, that's number 1, another while I tell time. And then, of course, but the 90 points of plasma from the LTA hit the Klingon number 5 shield for 66 internal. Klingon concedes. Wow. Holy cow. Cerber, at least. Wow. Well, see, that's the one thing with that 50-point plasma. Do you want to guess? Because if you guess wrong, you say, oh, that's a pseudo plasma torpedo, and come running in towards it and go, I know it is, I know it is, I know it is. If you guess wrong and it is not a pseudo, and you take 50 points of damage and get 20 internals, or let's say 15 to use all your batteries, you're down 15 internals at the beginning of the game. So you don't have a good position in that case. So at the very least, I think, wow, that's wow.
But you get a bunch of time to hunt them down afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I mean, the downside of the R is that it takes forever to load it.
Very true. Very true.
And it can be outrun.
Yep.
Just like every other torpedo. It has, it's almost glass cannony, mm-hmm. in a sense. You know, it's, that thing's got a lot less hit points on the inside. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And actually,
it is what it is.
Yeah, and the other game, IC versus Gorn, it was basically Peter guessed wrong. And he explains it at the beginning of the post. And what he says in his post is, I hope Jeff was going to be real aggressive. Because that's what, at last time, but he was real aggressive. He beat me, and the last time I wasn't real aggressive, he lost. And he wasn't real aggressive. But he wasn't, and then he guessed well, and I guessed badly.
But yeah,
he took real bad 12 internals, and then broke down anyway. Because what happened was that the Gorn came in, and then he, can you not, sorry, ow, no, please don't. My cat wants to play with.
Aww.
This, unfortunately, this was on my leg. What Aww, happened?
Who's a good kitty?
A good kitty puts his claws into my thigh. Yeah, no. I know he doesn't do it on purpose. Not hurting me on purpose. At least I don't think so. You know, the Zinni's secret Zinni agent. That's what I'm trying to get out. You know, kill the human. but, you know, he explains here, you know, that he went through the PPD. Peter was really aggressive. And he came in. What he did was he tractored the IC, and then he attempted to head. Now, actually, the funny part is, I actually was I was watching this game when this happened. I didn't watch much of the game, but I got in at the very end, basically, because it's a one-turn game. Got in, he headed, and then I'm and what was it? Seth went, so you're gonna roll for that hit, aren't you? And because he totally forgot that when you're tra when you tractor somebody, you
Yeah,
lose.
your class goes down one. You have a penalty,
You have
yeah.
a penalty, yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, bum.
But it's
And
only the tractoring ship that gets the penalty.
right.
And
It's a, I
yeah.
think it's G, yeah, there's
Well, the thing is, if you hit, do you lose your tractor automatically?
no.
Or is it only if you fail your hit roll?
Oh, if fill your hat roll, you're in deep trouble.
Oh, I know you're in deep doo-doo, but I was thinking, because I don't have my copy of the rules anymore right now.
Right.
Is that a loss of do you lose your tractor if you perform the hit?
No, you don't.
You don't. Okay.
No. What
It's just
the
if you happen to
breakdown?
break down, then you're hosed. Like, it's just one more thing you're hosed on.
Right. Where is it? I know it's here. I probably already skipped, went through past it, I bet you. Okay. Cloaked units, weasels. Okay, I'm just looking up real quick because I'm pretty sure that it's either in the chartering section or it's in the het section. Condition, right, chartering link in the seven. Movement gain, possible also chartering link seven. Bump. Tractor warfare, tractor auctions. Carries there. Okay, that's conditional on getting a tractor, not restrictions. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for restrictions. Do. Advanced sequence, firing arc, towing. I think I might have to look at heading. I don't see there's another restrictions. Okay. This is about non-moving ships. Releasing, structuring. Moving ship, right? This is about the movement of the ship. Condition. Right. Right. Rotation. Oh, and maybe that's the problem. I didn't go farther enough. Okay, restriction on the unit, which is held and/or towed by, and launch units. I know that one. Don't. Okay, I'm just one more sec. I do mean sec. I have to. But I'm pretty sure basically it is a it's a plus two, plus is it a plus I think it might be a plus one. Okay.
Pretty sure what's a plus one?
On the on the hat roll. Oh, there it is. Okay, to break down. Okay. Okay, do that. Okay, I can't find it at the moment. I'm willing to bet it's probably in the G7. I.e. the factoring rules. I didn't have time to actually sit down and find it. But I know that there's a rule which states that there's a rule that states that there is a plus to it, you know, for when it comes to your het roll. And that's why, because normally the het bonus covers up that. You get a plus 2 on your for your die roll for your het bonus. For your die roll. So you get, that's your het bonus. It's a plus 2 to the die roll. For the first roll, for unless you're a nimble ship like the Orion. Then you have 2 het rolls. Bad bonuses. So that's in the case of the tractor, you get a minus 1. Because the reason I say that is because I remember them mentioning that, oh, you know, the only failure is a 6. And what happened? Peter rolled a 6. Rolled a 6. Yep.
Yep, that'll happen.
There it is. But minus 1 due to tracking my opponent, rolled a 6, and it broke down, game over.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So, I mean, it looks like on paper, LC would be favorite in the matchup with IC. I'd like to see the game too. That is possible. The IC has that the RKE has the leg up. I just don't see it. You know, that being truly, truly the case, but. You know, we'll just have to wait and see, because my understanding is that Daniel was going on a cruise. And let me just do one thing, which is just make sure, because I was going to bring up my email. And I'm sorry, guys. I don't want to share my email with y'all. Okay. Oh, there it goes. Okay. I was waiting for my monitor, i.e. Twitch stream, to verify that, yes, yeah, you're not showing. You know, because every once in a while, OBS doesn't work quite well, and I used the hotkey, and the hotkey doesn't work. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, do that. Bum, 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 bum,
bum. Yeah.
And there it is. Yeah, right. He was going to try to actually do it on the cruise. Right. Wow. Not sure you're gonna be able to do it, but okay. Actually, no, he plans on trying to. That'd be 2 p.m. his time. Okay, actually, they're gonna try to play 2 o'clock his time, which is. Crap. I'm assuming my assumption is that it's 2 o'clock Eastern time on Monday. They're gonna see if they're gonna play at 2 o'clock on Monday. Cause, oops, wrong one. That. And, yeah, okay. Yeah, and the only thing he says, like, hopefully my internet will cooperate, and I'm hoping it will too. Because here's the minor issue. That is. The client uses a connection-based connection, i.e., it's not like HTTP. It's not like a web browser. Web browser, basically, you request, it then returns all the data, creates that one connection, grabs all the data, and then brings it down. And at that point, if you're usually actually they keep a connection open, but that's a technical detail which you can ignore. But after that, basically there's no connection between the browser and the server that you're connecting to retrieve the data from. So if the connectivity is not good, if it drops, whoop-de-doo, you can deal. In some cases, it might start hanging the browser and you just do a refresh, and it just reloads it and re-requests it, and then you can get around it. Not so much with the client. The client requires a constant connection, a solid connection. And hopefully that will be able to happen on Monday. So obviously for those of you that have some time in your busy schedule on Monday, the December 15th at 2 o'clock Pacific, actually, oh, it's 2 o'clock Pacific time. Daniel's on the Pacific coast. So that means it'd be 5 o'clock Eastern time. So in theory, I could actually watch it, because that's after my work day is over. So that'd be cool. If I can, I would love to be there. And of course, I'm also the tournament judge, which actually it would be good. You know, I think it would be a good thing for me to be there just in case they need a judge to call. I doubt it. I truly doubt that I'm going to be needed, quote unquote, needed. Now, the one thing that would be nice actually is for me is to actually record on my side, from an observer's perspective on things. So I actually can look at it now. Actually, what reminds me of the other day, which is one thing I'm thinking about doing, and I'm seriously thinking about it, and I'm debating in my own mind, because I know I did think about this many years ago, but now that I'm actually a tournament judge, it's more likely to happen, because I see the benefits to it. And that is the idea of a judge view. That is, I as the judge can actually look at the person's, not just their ship, I can see their EA, you know, after it's submitted, I can see their EA. Anytime the EA gets updated, I can see it. Mm-hmm. I can see what the updates are. And then things like what normally would be hidden, like speed plots, things like that. As a judge, as an overseer, I could actually view that stuff. Now, in theory, I can add that feature in, and I could see that as being a benefit to me, so I can make sure while I'm watching, people aren't cheating. You know, obviously there is the one difficulty that I have as being the developer SAP Online. That is, I like to play, but people have to trust me, because there are certain things in theory I could do, I would never do, which is I want to play an honest game, but people who play against me have to trust that I want an honest game, because in theory I could tweak the client on my end to modify things, like modify the roles.
Yeah, in theory you could, but I don't think you will. So right. There you go.
Exactly. That's it. People have to trust me.
Why even go there in the discussion?
Right. Well, yeah, I'm not going to go too far, but people have to trust me. And that, if I added that feature, it'd be the question whether I deteriorate any kind of trust that people had. You know? So that was one reason I wouldn't do it. You know, so that's why it's...
Well, you know what you could do is you could also add in a feature that basically tells somebody if the judge is looking at your stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, what it probably would have to do, which
like
is...
Like the judge is reviewing your stuff now.
No. Well, more to the point would be people already know that if they send me a game file, I can change the ownership of any unit. And that's because I'm the game owner. I can do that. Live, I can't do that. But what probably would be the best thing to do is prompt the player to say, so and so, my call sign, is requesting judge mode on your ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and possibly that explanation. The idea is basically that I can look at it, I can't modify it, but I can watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, but that'll be, you know, in that case, so that they know that I'm actually keeping an eye on things. And they know that I am. So it's not like I'm doing it stereotypically. I think I spelled out that right. But, you know, secretly, basically. So, you know.
Goodness.
Yeah. Because actually, we do have. I've not looked at that for a while. I'm not sure if the UI still has it. Which is, I know previously I had the idea of a team that you have people who are team members. And within that, if you are part of that person's team, you can, I'm not sure if you could actually, I forget if I could actually, you could see each other's EAs, but you definitely could move each other's ships as part of that team. So I'm not,
okay.
Yeah. So I thought I could possibly tie in to that kind of thing. But as I said, you know, I'm finally feeling that you won't be able to see the EA, but you could actually move them, which case, in the case of judge mode, I wouldn't want to be able to move the ships. I just want to watch what's happening behind the scenes, you know, the hidden stuff. But anyway, with that note, hopefully they'll be able to play on Monday and we'll be able to watch it. And if I'm really fortunate, I might actually be able to record it. And of course, if I am able to record it, y'all will actually be able to watch it with me and be able to go over the game. Now, the question is, obviously, that even if I record it on Monday, that does not guarantee we're going to, you know, that I'll be able to record the whole game, whether it's completed on Monday or even whether it is it ends on Monday, because obviously, even, you know, as it's said there, I think it was going to be, no, it said 2 p.m. Okay, cool. I just want to make sure I'm not viewing. That would be 7 a.m. his time. My understanding is that 7 a.m. Jeff's time is okay, but he's limited because he has to get to work. So they probably can play for an hour or two, but then he has to get to work. I'm assuming he's not taking the day, doesn't have Tuesday off. Because I know I would want to avoid that myself. So anyhow, with that, we have a little bit more time. So Doug actually wanted to bring up the topic of gamers. And that is what I'm going to be doing at Gamers. Now, fortunately...
Yeah, that's an interesting topic, too. Let's get to it. What you going to do? Well, I know you wanted to run...
Right.
Two webcam
right.
things.
Right.
And believe it, or two podcasts. And Doug,
believe it or not, last weekend I had the webcam with me.
Ah!
But dude. I know, well... Dude, it's either.
What are you doing this weekend?
I have to.
What are you doing this weekend?
I got to check on Saturday. I know I'm definitely. What? I know I'm busy. I'm flat out busy on Sunday. That I know. I have absolutely no time on this Sunday. I got to check on Saturday. If there's anything else that was planned for. I need to check before I agree to anything. But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you could come up Saturday.
The reason I didn't mention it again. Last weekend was just because of it was either we did that or we played Pinochle and I mean, or we played Cribbage.
We played Cribbage.
And I'm sure you'd want to play Cribbage.
But you guys did such a great job. I'm serious. It was friggin' awesome to get that done, mm-hmm. To get the stuff moved that we needed to move. I thought that was awesome. And thank you so much for coming down and helping with that.
Oh, you're welcome.
We just kind of got distracted afterwards. I mean, you know, it was cold out and right. We got to yakking at Cribbage and stuff instead. Right. So.
And they got some lunch, you know, nice time to chill out.
It was still a good day. It was still a good productive day.
Oh, agreed. I'm just telling you that you asked me to bring it, so I did bring it. So
and yeah, I kind of semi forgot about it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
With, like everything else.
So yeah, I definitely plan as I've mentioned multiple times, which is I definitely plan on doing another live streams. Both, for both one each. One stream each day, and hopefully we can get everything set up so that I can have the possibly dual camera setup, which would be I think would be or at least try camera setup because I plan on having being able to record from here, you know, my actual laptop like I did previously, where you know I recorded. Beforehand, me live, and then we basically switched to focusing on the board, and that and as we mentioned before, what I want is a camera that's basically looking directly down on the board. Now, that is problematic if I want to do anything with miniatures, because it's. The view of above the board is great because then you get the idea of where places things are on the board really easily. But of course, with miniatures, it's nice to have more at an angle because at an angle, you actually can see that the maxi 3D. So they don't just like look like 2D counters. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
it really makes
it. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, the, you know, the difference between like looking at a map and that. So
right. Oh, yeah. I still remember many years ago the whole idea of having an isometric board in the client. I tried to do an isometric. Not isometric. I think it's isomorphic. Didn't work. I could never get it to work. Look right. At least I did it according to the math, and it just didn't work out. Not sure why, but it just didn't. I really wish I could have, because I think that would be kind of cool to actually have, instead of having a look down on the board, you actually could have it look like an angle and you actually kind of a 3D effect. Even if for the counters themselves, they're still using counters and just having it so that they were like a little raised boxes, you know, so they actually kind of a physicality to the counters themselves, you know. So,
no big deal. I remember us talking about that years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyhow, I will, at the moment, I think this year. And because, whatever. That means, okay, I did Starfleet Battle Force was one, and the other one was, did they do FedCom? Which one did I do with Fritz?
You did, you mean this past year with Fritz? Yes.
Yeah.
You did Battle Force.
Okay.
So you did the card game.
I did the card game. Sorry. And also, I did an SFB demo. That's one thing I did. I did an SFB demo, which is one I really didn't want to do just because of the SFB demo. I mean, a proper demo takes longer. There are certain things, but at the very least, it gives you an idea, it gives people the idea of what SFB was like. So that means I don't plan on doing F&E because I don't know F&E. I'd have to sit down and actually read through the F&E rulebook. I did at one point read part of the rulebook, but I never completely got through it. And of course, the important thing about any game is actually playing it, live. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing I can do is the Starmada. I actually could do streaming of Starmada as one of them. And the other one, I know I could do. I could do the Marines, Starfleet Marines. They're not here. It's down the basement. I was looking at the rule book because if I recall correctly, there actually is a scenario which is a solo scenario, which is, if I recall correctly, the scenario that I'm thinking of, which is there's a scenario they have where you're playing against zombies. And I'm pretty sure that's a solo game. If I could do that, that obviously that's easy enough. Obviously, I can teach someone to play Starfleet Marines if somebody wants to. The Starfleet Marines definitely has a different cadence to it because of it. In some respects, it's like F&E in that when you move your pieces, then there can be reactions to that. And when it comes to firing, it gets... And there's actually have two opportunities to fire, and depending upon which one you do, obviously you do it first, then you can't do it later. But if you hold your fire to later, you can fire it and possibly kind of do a quick fire once in a row, twice in a row. It's been a while since I actually read over the rules, and I think that would actually be a good one. I'd have to reread it. That's one thing that I really wish was possible. That is to have more expansions to the Starfleet Marines. The obviously the biggest issue with Starfleet Marines is that there's only so much you can add. There's not much to it. Overall, when it comes to Starfleet Marines, when it comes to what you can add, what is there anything that's missing? I forget if I mentioned something. I know they were looking for it. I'm just gonna do something weird, really quick here. Starfleet Marines. That's gonna be third module. Okay. Did I post anything in here? Don't mind me. I'm One thing I offered when this is 2021, so it's been 4 years. The one thing I say, I mentioned one thing that I think one thing that caught my eye in module E2 was battle armor and powered battle armor, which I thought was kind of cool. I know they only exist in a Triangulum galaxy, but that'd be a neat optional rule for people that want to play the Triangulum SFM scenario. I know this could be something this might just be added to a captain's log or addendum. Of course, Steve Cole replied back, "Oh, I don't see why we couldn't add it to Module 3." Mike West said, "Oh, it's a possible monsters." Oh, that's one thing. Obviously, you can do different monsters. Oh. Okay. Mike West was just mentioning that he liked to see rule actually rules, specifically combat on asteroids. And Steve Paul mentioned Mike West suggested combat on an asteroid. Here you go, red limited because of the Horizons and indirect artillery may not work, as there isn't much gravity. Map edges merge so they're all the way around the thing. Basically, Mike was just saying, it actually like to have it codified, i.e., an actual rule that states that. So, and he could do that if they actually put out a new module. Well, a few times actually, Gary Carney chimed in on the same thread that I did, which is Gary said, "I agree with Paul with Battle Armor Module E2, plus more advanced power." And gave the link. Plus, there are potential rules for covering arachnid or Sig variant assimilation. However, unlike Left LMC, basically Empires, which have module and material in module C5 to use as the basis of data in page 19, the Starfleet battle matter, there's yet little data on battalion or company organization used by Empires. That is actually a good point. Actually, one of the options you mentioned. Actually, one of the options for monster scenario could be a recharge raid by the soldier shards. Certain shard variants can be used as attack craft, whereas the dreaded black shards could drain life of any marine during squads caught within a certain radius of a landing zone. Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah. So last time it was mentioned. Last post was actually 3 years ago in June of 2022, and that was Steve Cole, which is he was talking about. I'm not sure heavier tanks would be practical. They could only be moved as very heavy freight, would be limited production and much more expensive, and would require a whole new combat table. Still, an idea we could use if we ran out of ideas. So, I would. That's one thing as I said, I would love, which is a third module. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. The Andros. this is actually the post that started in 2020. So 5 years ago. Like I said, Steve Close said, "Oh, today I did the counters for Andros. I saw that they had a little recon bot and decided to put it on the place. In it to replace the outpost Andros don't use. I didn't include the commanders because Andros don't use them, but CP pointed out that I was wrong, so I went back on the sheet." And that's true. They actually do have, at least when it comes to ships, they send robots over for boarding parties. So, obviously, at some point, when they get on the ground, they're going to have to have commando units. When it comes to being on the ground, because even because they Andros don't normally take that many planets, they only want a planet for resources at all, not for the people, just for the resources. So obviously you can do have robots that do the resource harvesting and so forth, but if you take it from a populated planet, you're going to have commandos to actually either kill the people or at least fight them off so they can leave the planet or stay away from any operations that you currently have. Anyhow, I think we will wrap it up now because I don't want to get too late because I got started a little bit late. So I'm still only recording the news portion of the podcast, which I have to do afterwards. So anyway, Doug, it's been an absolute pleasure to having you around. Hopefully, I will definitely check on whether we can get together this weekend or not.
Okay. Well, try to let me know.
Well, I definitely will let you know one way or the other.
Also, send me a schedule for gamers. Like an actual, here's what I want to run as demos, normal stuff.
Right. Understood.
You know? Well, and it can include your podcast times, and I could link the your Twitch on that as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. But thank you for having me on. Gamers Winter, it's only a few months away at this point. So. Yeah, it is. I mean, President's Day weekend is February. It's only about 8 weeks.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah, it's December. It's Christmas December. Time, and then boom, it's here.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, you have a good night. So, got the review. The wonderful game that's going to be played. And as Seth said, yeah, RKE should win. Not sure I see it. Of course, to be honest, I have a limited view on the RKE. More, I really don't think the RKE can win anything, but obviously it can because Daniel Pitsef has actually proved that it can be run very effectively and very well. And I congratulate him. It's like Stephen McCann in his wax, you know, he on that battle pig, he was always very, very good in playing that ship. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.